The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to Spirit of Recovery, offering support for your spiritual growth and addiction recovery. Here's Reverend Dan Beckett.
Welcome to the Spirit of Recovery on Unity Online Radio. We're glad you're with us today. I am Reverend Dan Beckett, and here with co-host Reverend Michelle Jelinch. Today, we share ways that spirituality and recovery intertwine and work together to support your spiritual growth in your recovery journey.
Facebook users, you can send us your questions and comments anytime during the week from our Facebook page, Spirit of Recovery. Just click the Send Message button right below the banner. Each week on the show, we'll respond to a listener question or comment. Be assured that your anonymity will always be respected, so please let us know what's on your mind. We would love to hear from you.
Today's show is titled, Imagine That. When we first get into addiction recovery, it can be hard to imagine a life without a drink or a drug. It may seem like our life is over and we'll never have fun again. But nothing could be further from the truth. We soon begin to learn that there is a new way of being in the world that is far better than our old habits. Today, we'll share our experience, strength, and hope on moving from a dull existence to the life you want to live through the spiritual power of imagination.
So we'll begin today by sharing some of our experiences of what that dull existence was like. And then we'll move into the solution, which is using the power of imagination. And after the break, we'll share exactly how we use the power of imagination to move from that dull existence to the life we want to live. So, Dan, start us out today and tell us a little bit about that dull existence during maybe active using or in your early sobriety. What was that like?
Yeah, you know, as we talked about this earlier, I realized that that sort of dull existence, well, certainly hard to see at the time, just like anything. You know how, like, we're the last one to know the extent of the problem we have. Those of us or the ones with the addiction are often the last ones to know. And so I didn't really realize, you know, how sort of blah, you know, I don't have a good, was that an English word, blah?
I understood it.
have a word for it. And what occurred to me was like that old analogy of the boiled frogs, right? Like, so people will say that if you throw a frog into a pot of hot water, it'll jump out, right? Because it has sense. But if you put it in room temperature water and slowly raise the heat, it'll just sit there because it doesn't notice. And that's kind of like what my experience of the growth of addiction was, is slowly over time it got what I now call worse and worse, and I didn't really notice. And it's the same thing with what I can now see as what I could call a dull existence. I didn't think of it that way then. I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. I didn't know it. But looking back on it, you know, I can see things like sort of a ever-present. It's almost like there was a gray cloud that kind of followed me around, and I was so used to it that I forgot what the sky looked like.
Yeah.
You know, when the sun was shining, that kind of thing. So maybe what is that, like a mild sort of depression, and anxiety often goes together with it. And I had that, too. And so a dull existence for me back then was at least in part included some degree of what I would call mild depression, maybe medium at its worst, and the companion anxiety that went along with it.
Yeah, I understand that, having suffered from that low-grade mild depression most of my life as well. And then maybe we're not the alcoholics are not the brightest bunch, because a lot of us already have mild depression, and then we pour a depressant on top of it and wonder why we feel like crap, right?
Because it's fun.
It's fun. Good time.
Apparently. Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, and so, I mean, obviously alcohol is a depressant and has a dulling effect. You know, as we were talking about before the show, I can't say that my drinking life was dull, because, I had a lot of fun. You know, I hear people say that in the rooms, and that's fine. It was fun until it wasn't fun anymore, you know. I certainly had a lot of fun, but there were compulsive aspects to my life that I would consider sort of dull. You know, I had like some obsessive compulsive habits. I had to have my apartment perfectly clean all the time. I had this perfectionism that sort of plagued every aspect of my life. I lived in a lot of worry and fear about the future, things like that, that I can remember back from my drinking time. But I certainly relate with that idea that you talked about in the description of the show, that, you know, when, and I got sober really young, so I think this was even more for me. It's like, how am I going to not drink the rest of my life? This is going to be so boring. How will I ever have fun again? And I love it when, newcomers say that in the rooms, because we always just look at them and go, just hold on to your seat, honey, because it's about to get real. I mean, I'm sure you can probably chime in that, you know, I've had more fun in sobriety than I could ever imagine. But it doesn't look that way in early sobriety or you know, early recovery from any active addiction. It can look like, you know, how is life going to be any fun anymore without this substance that I'm addicted to?
Yeah.
But hold on to your seat, because sobriety is a wild ride.
Things are about to get very interesting.
Yes, they are.
Like that old curse, may you have an interesting life. But it is fun. You know, you mentioned that having a lot of fun in active addiction. I did too, you know, especially in the beginning, of course. And, you know, I ran into the idea, and I know I had found this to be true for myself, that what was fun, that, you know, I did it because it was fun at first, and then I did it because it was a habit, and then I did it because I had to, you know, drink, I mean. And that the recovery process and participating in recovery groups and all that, you know, working the steps, all the work that we do is kind of the reverse progression. Like at first I did it because I had to, and then I did it because it was a habit, and then I did it because it was fun, you know? And so it was that whole 10 miles into the woods, 10 miles out of the woods kind of thing. But yeah, I remember having that exact feeling, and it's so very common. I mean, I think that's why so many of us can smile on the other side of all of this. It's easy to do when we remember that, or maybe hear somebody say that, you know, that kind of lament, like, oh man, this is gonna suck. I can't ever have fun again. How am I gonna have fun? And I was there. I totally get that. So that's another, you know, when we talk about what did a dull existence look like, well, I talked about late in my drinking career, it looked like one thing, but then maybe early in my sobriety, it looked like another. Now, fortunately, those fears were unfounded, you know, as you alluded to. And I have found that to be the case just with those around me as well on this journey. And so, you know, what started as fun and then turned into a burden, I was able to release that burden, and then being in sobriety was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually turned out to be the total opposite to me. If I think about it, you know, when I was drinking, pretty much that's what I wanted to do. I wanted, you know, if people asked me to go and do things and it didn't involve drinking or being near a bar or any possibilities for drinking, I didn't want to do it. I only wanted to do things that revolved around alcohol. So if you think about it, that was kind of dull, right? Because I was missing yes. out on so many things. I was so limited in what I could do and what I enjoyed doing because it was limited to things that related to drinking. So, you know, and we're going to be talking about the power of imagination today. I actually, you know, was able to use my power of imagination to learn that there's a whole lot of really fun things to do out there. So it actually ended up being the complete opposite of what my fear was. And I don't know why so many of us that get sober young, we have this fear like, oh, I won't be able to drink champagne at my wedding. Like this is a daily concern is drinking champagne at your wedding. But these are the things that go through our minds sometimes in early sobriety because we have limited ourselves to the idea that things can only be fun when they involve alcohol or whatever our substance is.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, that's actually pretty dull.
I agree. It very much is. And it just struck me how, you know, my relationship with alcohol was an abusive relationship, right? And it's the hallmark of any abusive relationship that you can't see outside of it. That's part of the dynamic. You cannot see outside of this little circle that you've put yourself in my case, or, you know, in a relationship someone else has kind of cornered you into. If you're the on the abuse side, I'm not sure. And was I abusing alcohol or was it abusing me or both? I guess I have to put it on me. I must have been the abuser on both sides of that equation. But you cannot see outside of it. That's part of the dynamic. And so, yeah, if at that moment thinking about living a life without alcohol and I can't see out of this little limited, tiny little circle, you know, that's all about alcohol, it seems like there's nothing, right? Like all I can see is gone. And that leaves what? Now, what am I going to do? Just go to work and go.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it's going to be terrible. But like you said, in reality, it's quite amazingly wonderful. Yes, there is a hump to get over in the beginning, but it doesn't go on. For me, it didn't go on for years and years. I mean, we're talking about weeks, maybe months, where, you know, running into a difficult patch had, you know, occurred less and less often over time to the point where it just simply doesn't happen now. I've got the tools.
Yeah.
To deal with, you know, if I have difficult emotions come up and my brain goes, oh, yeah, we have a solution for that. It's called alcohol. You know, I'm pretty quickly like, yeah, I'm aware of that solution and I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So let's apply some of these other tools, some spiritual tools, some emotional tools that I've picked up along the way.
Yeah, that fear that life is not going to be fun anymore is just completely erroneous and unfounded. I mean, have you ever found a more fun group of people than a bunch of sober alcoholics? Honestly,
we haven't. I remember my first home group, the room was down a long hallway. And so you could, as you walked, you could begin to hear what was going on. And I swear, and I shared this at a meeting, I feel like I'm walking toward a comedy club.
Yeah.
The laughter coming out of that room, just leading up to the beginning of the meeting, just the energy and the positivity and, you know, just from the conversation of the people who were in the room before the meeting started. My goodness.
Isn't it somewhere in our literature, I believe maybe in the Big Book, where it says we absolutely insist on enjoying life? That seems like...
I think so.
Yeah.
I'd have to look that up. I'm really bad at quotes, but yeah, we
and
do.
It's true. I mean, we didn't get sober to be miserable and dull and bored. We got sober to have a wonderful life and live happy, joyous, and free. So that's what we insist on.
Yeah, the life we want.
That's right.
So let's shift gears now that we know about this challenge we're all remembering, like bringing it crashing back perhaps, of a dull existence. What is the solution? Well, in Unity, we always affirm that all of life is governed by spiritual principles.
Yes, and our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, as we know, developed a set of 12 spiritual principles that he called the 12 powers. And these are 12 spiritual abilities that we all have and which we can learn to use more effectively in our spiritual growth.
And the ability that can lead us out of a dull seeming life, or a fear of a dull life, or an actual dull life, and then a fear of a dull life, is what into the life we want to live, is our very creative power, the power of imagination. And that's what we want to focus on today. But the power of imagination, like many things, it can mean different things to different people. So, Michelle, when you think about the 12th power, specifically the power of imagination, what comes to mind?
Well, basically, the definition that we find if we look this power up is that the power of imagination is the ability to conceptualize and envision a different future. And so that pretty much encapsulates it. It's the ability of our mind to imagine that things could be different. You know, assuming that we came to sobriety because there were some pretty big things in our lives we were not happy with, our power of imagination is what allowed us to even imagine that things could be different, that life could be better. And so, you know, in Unity, we talk about the power of our thoughts to create our existence, to create our experience of reality. And so we have to be able to conceive of a different reality before we can even begin to create one. And we may not know exactly what it's going to look like. In fact, we most certainly do not. But we have to be able to have some sort of a vision of things being different. And so it's sort of like, you know, we talked about the dull existence and being in a rut and being stuck in behaviors. The power of imagination comes in and allows us to imagine ourselves unstuck, to imagine that we could get out of that rut, that there could be a whole realm of possibilities out there that we have not experienced yet. So that's how we use that power of imagination.
I love that word, envision. Yes. Envision, because the visioning process and the ability that we have as human beings to hold a vision of something, to sort of create in our minds a plan almost, I don't know, not quite a plan, but a feeling like we can create a place and put ourselves in that place and feel like it would feel to be in that place. We can create a conception for a whole new way of being. You know, it's been pointed out that anything that any human has ever made has begun in the realm of consciousness first. Right. It began as a product of this very creative power that we have, that we call imagination. And so far from being like divorced from so-called reality, I think in a very real way, it's the birthplace of what ends up being perceived by me to be what I call reality. So it's the kind of thing that I have found was easy for me to sort of underestimate the power of, or really kind of miss the essential nature of it, not realize its true power and how foundational it is my life as an active alcoholic. It created my life on a recovery path. It has created the life that I'm living right now. And then, of course, I can, if I'm aware of that and I'm willing to do the work, I'm not saying any of this is easy, but it can be learned and done. I can create a different kind of life if I want to. Anyway, it all comes down to what we're calling the power of imagination, which I do find very helpful to think about it, visioning or envisioning, because imagination can sometimes mean not real. And I get it, it's not physical, right? It's I can imagine the perfect, you know, lamp for my desk in my head. And yeah, that's not a physical reality in front of me now. Now it could become so, but you know, holding a vision, envisioning a new future, envisioning a different way of doing something, you know, are all parts of imagination. So when I think about the power of imagination, I immediately move to this creative ability that's so much bigger than I ever realized it was.
Yeah, so we've talked about this kind of thing before, that we are always using this creative ability of ours. We are always co-creating our lives with spirit. It's a matter of whether we're doing it consciously or not, right? And so a lot of us, for the most part, were doing it unconsciously, and we couldn't figure out how we kept creating these situations that weren't what we wanted, but it was because we were doing it unconsciously. So much about the spiritual journey and the recovery path is learning to use these powers that we have in a conscious way. So rather than we just keep creating stuff we don't want, we start using that power of imagination to create what we do want. And for me, the idea that I even could do that was a revelation. I didn't know. And if you'd not been in Unity before and you haven't been introduced to these concepts, how would you know? You know, you wouldn't know that you were doing that. You're just living your life and can't figure out why you're not getting the results you want. But we learn to use these powers consciously. And one thing that I think of when I think of imagination is, you know, and this is kind of some, you know, basic Unity concepts that, for us, there's a spiritual realm. In addition to the material realm in which we live, there is a spiritual realm, which is the realm of sort of potentiality or of infinite possibilities. It's the realm of God, right? And so we learn that we have access to tap into that realm of infinite possibilities, that we are basically unlimited beings. We are only limited by our ability to tap into and access that power of imagination to create from that realm of infinite possibility. So I hope that makes sense. But it's the idea that there's this infinite creativity. You know, if you can envision it, you can create it. If you can believe it, you can, you know, have it. And this concept has gotten sort of secularized through things like The Secret, you know, where people are using this power to create, you know, cars and houses and things like that. And we can certainly use it in that way. But I think we find that we want to use it in a little broader way of really creating, like we're talking about today, the life that we want.
Yeah, I think that kind of superficial way of using it doesn't last. Yeah. It doesn't have legs because it's not deeply rooted in a spiritual reality or tradition. That's been my experience with it, that it really requires the deep roots of what to me is spirituality in order to, you know, be something that I can rely on year after year, decade after decade in life. Now, you used a good word, and I love that you reminded us that we are using all these 12 powers all the time. It's just, are we aware of it? And we can, of course, be using them in what I like to call skillful ways, unskillful ways. My minister used to talk about unskillful uses of mind. And yes. I found that a helpful phrase, think, oh, well, maybe I could get some skills and practice some skillful uses of mind and my life could be different. You know, I was reminded of the quote from the Gospel of John. This is chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, that can be applied to a lot of things, but and it directly applies to this. You will know the truth of the power of your creative ability that, in my view, was inherited from the source of all, whatever you call it. I use the word God, but I recognize that's a concept, right? So whatever the source of all that is whatever has created creation, however you choose to look at that, that level, that universe creating ability, we inherit because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. That's why I love the very beginning of Genesis. The Hebrew Bible begins in Genesis 1 with the seven day, you know, 6 days of creation and a day of rest. And that is, in a very real sense, an analogy, and it is a demonstration of a power that we as as if we think of ourselves as, quote, children of God, we have inherited that ability.
Right.
We literally create worlds, and we're so good at it, we don't even realize we're doing it.
Yes.
So, for example, if you've ever seen a very talented, painter or actor or dancer, they're so good at what they do that they make it look effortless and easy, and everything flows. But then when I start to try to do the dance or cook the dish or do the act, the role or whatever, I realize how incredibly difficult it actually is. And the fact that they make it look easy is a testament to their ability along those lines. And we are the same way with our creativity. We are so good at it. We have created our life experience and we haven't even realized that we've done it. Because we're so good, we make it look easy. The machinations are invisible to us because we're so studied in it and so practiced in it. And if we can know that truth, then that truth can set us free because it returns that ability to our conscious mind, not just our unconscious mind.
Exactly.
And I love that about it because if we don't like what we created, we can recreate it.
Yes.
You know, my friend Edwin Gaines used to say, you know, if you pray something into your life and you don't like it, pray it right back on out. You know, you get to change this.
Yeah, why?
Because we have the power of imagination, which when we use it in a skillful manner is the very taproot of the creativity that has created everything. And we can use it that way ourselves.
Yeah, that's why the spiritual path is a path of awakening. We're awakening to these processes that were previously unconscious. We didn't know we were engaging in them, and now we can use them in a conscious way to get the things that we want, to create the life we want. You know, you brought up the Genesis story, and, you know, it says in there, after all this stuff was created, that man was given dominion over the things of the earth. And I believe in part what that means is that man is given the ability to create in the material realm. This is the realm in which we are currently living as incarnated beings. And we are given that power of imagination, that dominion over the material to create the life we want while we're here. So thank you, God.
Well said. Thank you. I agree. Thumbs up, two thumbs up here, but hold that thought because it's time for a short break. And when we come back, we will continue the conversation. So please stay with us.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to Spirit of Recovery.
If you're just joining us, we were talking about sort of this dull existence that we experienced in early recovery or in our active using time. I think Dan is rejoining us. Are you coming back, Dan?
I'm doing the best I can. I'm on my phone having some technical difficulties today. So catch me up. Where are you?
Okay, so I'm just saying that before the break, we were discussing that dull existence of life before we learned about our power of imagination and what the power of imagination means, that we have the co-creative capacity to create the life we want. So what, Dan, can you tell us how that, are you able to tell us how that worked for you? Okay, good. So how did you use that power of imagination to begin to create the life that you wanted?
Well, first I have to say life got really exciting there for a minute when my internet connection died. And I'm sitting here talking apparently to myself. Okay, but back to where we are. Yes, that's dull existence and the power of imagination that can lead us out of it. We talked about that in the beginning. Well, what has helped me a lot is, again, and I love this concept, this word envision, or a visioning process, or, you know, we have this thing called a vision board. Yeah. That's just a way we can express this kind of vision, you know, out there in front of us so we can see it, which can be very helpful for clarifying it and reinforcing it and focusing it, etc. And so I first need to ask myself the question, what is the life I want to live?
Right.
And I reckon.
Did we lose him again?
To just take a little piece of it, like, I don't need to take on my entire life experience all at one time, like I've got between now and 6:30 to, you know, completely redesign a whole new way of being. I can just look at a piece of my life, like, what do I do in the world for work, or what kind of relationships I have, friendships maybe, or maybe romantic relationships, or what's going on with my physical health or whatever. Just pick one thing and use the power of imagination. Use the power to envision a different way of being with just that one thing. So reform, just transform one aspect at a time. And if it ever feels overwhelming, just start with something small. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we grow up in a world with so much media that sometimes it seems like that if I'm going to do anything, I have to, like, right out of the gate, do it on a global level,
right,
and be like the most amazing person in the world. And that's such a unhelpful way of seeing. We absolutely do not have to do that. We can pick something really small. So
yeah.
What do I like to do in the world? Can I think of one thing that I like to do in the world? Oh, I like to walk in nature. Great. Then let me find a time sometime in the next week when I can walk in nature. That's an example. That's all you got to do.
Right.
That's an example of, you know, just taking the first step. Baby steps, we say, right? One day at a time, one step at a time. So just don't be afraid to begin small. And that's what I had to do.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that it's awakening to the fact that we are creating our lives at all times, whether we want to do it consciously or not, you know, that we have the power to consciously create more of the life we want. Mm-hmm. Now, the sort of caveat that I personally would like to give is that, you know, we have infinite co-creative capacity, but we are also sharing this material realm currently, this planet that we live on, with 7 billion other human beings and a whole lot of other sentient beings that are also in their creative capacity, you know, creating their lives as well. So we don't live in a vacuum. Right. So I can co-create, but I don't have the infinite capacity to just, you know, single-handedly create the entire universe that I want for myself without considering all of those around me who are also creating their realities. So I think that, and I am in no way meaning to badmouth The Secret, because The Secret did a huge part in bringing some of these concepts to the larger secular population. I think that where it may fall short is where we come in unity. We say that we co-create. So we co-create with spirit. And that's really been the key for me. I, you know, as a human being, have limited understanding and scope of vision. And I can't always, you know, see a bigger picture or consciously see all of the possibilities for my life. So I partner with spirit. I partner with God in creating the life I want. So I don't always know, and we say this in 12 step, I don't always know what's good for me. You know, if I knew everything, I would have no need of a higher power. I need to be in partnership with my higher power. So I might say something like, God, I'm not really sure what I am creating right now. I'm not really sure where I should go next, or, you know, what job I should be, you know, looking at, or what kind of a relationship I should be trying to create. I need help. I need access to divine mind. I need to tap into that higher self, that higher understanding. And so then I, you know, do my spiritual practice, prayer and meditation and talking with God and reading spiritual things, whatever, all of those various things. And then I create from that place. So I'm not acting alone. I'm always co-creating with spirit. And like I say, the reason that's important is because as a human being, my scope is limited. So I always aim too low. I always aim too low. And God's vision is always so much higher than mine. God's vision is infinite. So whereas I might imagine a life for myself, you know, with certain limited things, the God mind, the divine mind, imagines something even so much greater and more amazing than I could ever imagine myself from my human mind. So, you know, we have different ways that we remind ourselves of this when we are praying or trying to create certain things in unity. Sometimes we say this or something better, or we simply pray for our own or for others' highest good, so that we're not limiting our creative capacity to what we can envision with our human minds.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm remembering how, so this, my creative ability, and we all can affirm this, my creative ability is used in consciousness, right? So I am creating in consciousness because that's where everything begins, right? And here's a concrete example. I mean, it's almost silly, but I want to connect the idea to a physical reality. So a few years ago, my teenage son and I decided we wanted to build a dune buggy. Uh-huh. And so that just began as an idea. And, you know, it was a concept that we were holding in consciousness. It was a vision that we had of, you know, driving to the grocery store in this wild looking dune buggy thing. Never done that before. I don't know how to do that. You know, I assume we figured it out as we go. Well, we did it. And it's in my garage right now. And when we're done, I could get in it and drive it to the grocery store if I wanted to. And so we began from an idea and turned into a reality. But what I got to remember is that my creative ability, this divine power of creativity, or we're calling it imagination in this context, the medium is consciousness.
Right.
Right. I'm not creating dirt and mountains and stuff. I'm creating in my consciousness, and outflowing from there, the physical circumstances of my life change to align with my consciousness, you know. And so I know it's a weird kind of concept, but here's another example of something that I did. Because you talked about how we're, you know, we got a planet of 7 billion people and we're all creating at the same time. That is true, but I'm the only one creating in my consciousness.
Right.
And so I want to live in a place that's not too hot, right? I'm talking about the weather outside. It's not too hot. Because when I was a kid, I lived in New Orleans for a few years, coming from central Pennsylvania. So let that sink in for a minute. Central Pennsylvania to New Orleans, you can imagine the weather quite different in New Orleans. In fact, it was hotter than you know what down there. And it was so humid, I didn't even know there was such thing as that much humidity. And it was absolutely miserable for me as a kid. I hated it. Anyway, I carried that bad experience all through my life. And guess what? 2 years ago, we moved from the wonderful, cool mountains of Western North Carolina up there in the hills to Central South Carolina. And guess what the weather's like here? It's not that different than it was in New Orleans. And I said to myself, I am not living in a place that's too hot.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I decided, and this, you know, this is created in consciousness. I shifted my consciousness around this. And I did it by having some fun with it. So it's never hot here, right? It's only warm. And if it's over 80, I call that warm. If it's over 90 degrees, I call that quite warm. And if it's over 100 degrees, that's mighty warm, right? There is no hot weather here because I decided there wasn't. Now, it seems silly, right? Because what is this, just like a word game? No, it was fun for me because it was something that I could do with words. It was a total shift in my consciousness. And all that upset, that anger, that irritation, that I hate hot weather, I'm sweaty, I don't like it, the car is too hot, blah, 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 I can't sit on the seat. All of that, gone. Gone. I carried that for 40 years, and it's gone. That, I call that a healing.
Yes.
I call it, in a sense, a miracle, because I never would have in a million years thought that that could be a reality. And guess what? I live in a place that there are people standing right next to me complaining and calling it hot. And I'm like, I'm glad I don't live in a hot place.
Right. So what you're talking about is the fact that we can choose how we experience things. And we have the power with our power of imagination and with our minds to reframe sort of our experience, to reframe it first in the realm of consciousness, but then it actually outpictures, then we begin to experience things differently.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is such a silly, simple example, but I remember I was living with a family in Mexico and I hated melon. I absolutely hated cantaloupe or any kind of melon. And they served me cantaloupe and I wanted to be polite. So I ate the darn cantaloupe and I thought, how am I going to keep eating cantaloupe when I hate it? So I decided I was going to like it. I just decided I was going to like cantaloupe. And sure enough, after a few more times of eating it, I started to like it. So we can actually reframe, you know, our experience. And, you know, for example, what's happening in the world today, it's very easy to say, gosh, you know, all these things are happening. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. You know, what are we going to do? This sort of doomsday. And it's not to ignore those things or pretend like they don't exist, but we can choose to reframe what's happening in our minds. We can choose to say, you know, however that works for us, you know, our planet is in transition. Human beings are in transition. We are on the verge of powerful transformation. You know, this is the chaos before the big shift. You know, we can choose to focus on the things that are good that are happening, the progress that we're making as human beings in the way we treat one another and the way we understand one another. And, you know, sometimes unity, we get accused of being Pollyanna or of being, you know, overly positive or whatever. But it's not that we want to ignore the reality or the things that are happening, but actually, the truth is that reality is completely subjective, and we can actually do our part to shift reality by reframing what's happening and holding a different consciousness. And, you know, it's not going to out, the entire world is not going to change overnight because I shifted my consciousness, but my experience of it is certainly going to change. And when lots and lots of people do that, it does have incredible power to shift things in the outer, in the material realm.
It does, because I got to jump in, because if I don't shift my consciousness, nothing's going to change.
Right.
But if I do now change, the door is open.
That's right. Yeah, it's tapping into that realm of infinite possibilities.
I want to use a slightly more concrete example. So I started with the weather because I actually did this and it actually changed my entire relationship with warm weather. But what if instead, you know, I'm saying I'm not going to work at a job that I hate. I am not going to work at a job that I hate. I refuse to work at a job that I hate. Well, you know, last week you're saying you hate your job. Are you saying you're going to quit? No, I am going to change my consciousness around my job.
Yes.
Why? Because I can't do this anymore. I can't work a job that I hate. And if I change my consciousness around my job, my work, just like I described doing it with the weather, then, oh man, my whole life experience gets better. And then guess what? New job opportunities open up.
Yeah.
Because I'm not all wound up. I'm not all occupied. All my energy is not going into, quote, you know, working a job I hate. I've released that. I've experienced, I consider that a healing. And now new possibilities open up. So, you know, if my ultimate goal is to have a job that I love, let me figure out how to love what I'm doing right now. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing all these other possibilities of things I could do that I love. And I quit this job and I take the next one, all because I made the decision.
Yes. So let me share. Now, we're having a lot of fun today sharing concrete examples of how we did this in our lives. And I hope it's helpful for everyone that's listening. I want to give an example of how I co-created a whole new career and a new life. And I believe that I co-created it with Spirit. So I'm not sure how many years ago it was, about 6-7 years ago. I was doing medical transcription and my main contract vanished overnight, and I suddenly had no work. And I began this process of visioning and meditation and, you know, vision boarding, all of that stuff that we do to try to figure out what I was supposed to do next. I had this deep sense that Spirit was trying to shift me out of something that I had outgrown. And I had this sense that Spirit had a larger vision for me, but I didn't know what it was. That's what I meant when I was talking about our human vision being limited. I had that inkling that there was something I was meant to be doing, but I just couldn't get a handle on what it was. And so I began a process of lots of prayer and meditation, of assessing what my skills were that I had, and, you know, trying to, you know, asking for guidance, asking to be shown, you know, what career would encompass all of these skills and these experiences that I have amassed in my life. There must be something that can come from all of these various things I've done in my life and challenges I've overcome. And this process, to make a very long story very short, ultimately led to my call to ministry. And had I not undergone that process, that may not have happened, you know, and it took time. It took a lot of time. I tried to make a few other things happen, and they just were not happening. They just kept falling through. And I just kept saying, God, I know there is something that I am meant to do. I know that I am being called to something higher. And it unfolded over a period of years, but ultimately I was led to this amazing calling, which is so much more than a job. And that I find incredibly fulfilling, and that utilizes all of my skills. But in my human conscious, in my human perspective, my human mind, I couldn't get at that vision. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't see what that, I was like, this all has to add up to something. What is it? And I just couldn't get it. But I was consciously taking time each day to tap into divine mind. And eventually I got it. You know, eventually the message came through loud and clear. And that's just an example of many examples in my life where the God's vision was so much higher than mine. I was aiming too low. I just was aiming too low. I had no idea that something so much bigger and more amazing was possible for me. So that's why for me, it's so important for me to be always co-creating with God or with divine mind.
Yeah, we always say this or something better.
That's right.
You know, in our prayer, as to, you know, consciously not limit our good, you know, not limit our upside. You know, this whole thing that we're talking about and what you just described, I find represented very well in, I'm going to go back to the Christian scripture, Gospel of Matthew 6:33 says, but strive first for the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The way that translates into my understanding of life and Spirit is I've got to keep my eyes on Spirit, my relationship with Spirit, and the shifting that I'm doing, the creating that I'm doing, is create in consciousness, and then I don't have to worry about it from there, because all the rest of that stuff, like the actual new job,
right,
the dune buggy, my experience of the weather, all the rest of that stuff will just follow. I don't need to go get it or go do it. I keep my eyes on the Spirit, and I keep my co-creation in consciousness, and everything else will follow.
Yep.
But we once again have got to change gears. I'm in a dune buggy mode with my gear changing. And turn our attention to a question or a comment from our listener. So here's a question that often comes up. Sometimes people say things like, quote, it's just in your imagination, as if that stuff doesn't exist or matter, like it's nothing. So how can those things that are, quote, allegedly just in my imagination help me change my life if it's all just made up anyway?
Oh, gosh, and I have to explain this in
Girl,
like 1 minute.
Think?
I mean, this is basic unity, you know, theology or basic unity principles, is that everything begins in consciousness and then outpictures in the material realm or not. And it goes to our third principle, you know, that we are co-creators with spirit, creating our experience of life.
Yes.
And so everything is in our imagination. Everything begins in our imagination. We are constantly making up what is our experience of reality. There's no like actual, you know, objective reality. It's each one of our subjective experiences as is filtered through our own consciousness and our own, you know, our own mind, etc. So it just goes back to what we've been talking about, that we can change our experience of reality by changing our consciousness. And it's not to say that that's easy, but you mentioned starting with small things and learning to exercise that power of imagination. And again, for me, especially, it's important, always co-creating with God.
You know, at our church, we affirm that very thing. And I'm so glad you said that, because I hadn't made the connection. The third unity principle, the way we put it, is we are co-creating with God, actively creating our world through thoughts held in mind. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You just begin with what's right in front of you. You begin with something manageable and realize that we are working to shift. I am working to shift my consciousness around something. That is how I co-create with God, as the principle says. And we're creating our world through thoughts. You know, the thoughts that are running through my head, my conception of things, through thoughts held in mind. And again, you know, I love the Bible, you know that. So going back to strive first for the kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well.
Yes. Awesome. Well, as always, we like to give you an affirmation that sort of helps to make these ideas concrete and that you can use. And so our affirmation for today is, I hold a vision of the good unfolding in every area of my life, and I allow it to become my reality.
Yeah, I hold a vision of all the good unfolding in every area of my life, and I allow that to become my reality. Amen to that.
Amen.
That kind of says it all. Sort of once you know how this works, it all makes sense, but if it feels like a giant weird mystery to you, don't worry about it. Just keep showing up one foot in front of the other one day at a time and you'll get it. Well, guess what? It's happened again. You've given yourself the gift of another hour listening to Spirit of Recovery, and we are grateful. We hope you found something in all of our nattering that will be genuinely helpful to you in your recovery. Thank you, Reverend Michelle, for our discussion as always. And thank you to all who are listening to the podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. We bless you wherever you are in your journey.
And listeners, you know that you can always connect with us on our Facebook page, Spirit of Recovery, and we invite you to give us your thoughts and feedback. So please join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central. And until then, don't drink like my co-host.
And don't drink like mine.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Hey, it's Radley Valentine. Join me for a brand new way of connecting with your angels on my new podcast, The Angel Tarot Show. Each week, you'll meet your angelic guides and guardians and find new ways to unlock unconditional love, tune into your intuitive abilities, and create the joy-filled life that, well, you've always wanted. Plus, you'll get a useful and timely energetic weather report bringing you guidance for the coming week. Tap into the healing, hope, and guidance that's all around you on the Angel Tarot Show, exclusively on mindbodyspirit.fm.